For some reason, I like stopped breathing. Oh, because I was trying to not breathe on my mic.
Oh, I see.
But then I was like, well, now I'm not breathing.
Now I'm just not breathing. I'm
out of breath.
There's a lot going on over there.
There's
right now.
So much happening. There's a lot of balls being up in the air right now.
Just, yeah. Cricket balls.
Cricket
baseballs.
Oh, like those all hurt.
When yeah, they do. Yeah. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood boys.
More Bollywood boys who are capable of overcoming all of the odds.
Yes, and also playing cricket.
Yeah.
I did not expect this to be a sports movie, and while it's not actually a sports movie,
yeah,
there are sports.
Sports play a significant component. We can't escape cricket.
No, and I'm okay with it. I'm
too.
Here for it.
Yeah, some of it's been intentional on our part, but this one was not.
Yeah, now it's just following us.
It is, yeah.
So that's cool.
That's great. I think further signs that we should enjoy watching more cricket. Yeah, this is Srikant.
It is. What were your general thoughts?
I enjoyed the first half more than the second half.
Yes.
And, you know, it's funny. I think I was expecting more.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. More of an arc, maybe?
Yeah.
Or more of a... I think that's the term. Like, more of a story.
Yeah.
Less of, like, a facts. I don't know how to, you know?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. Yeah. It did sort of lack a plot. Like, the plot was just... here is this man's life and journey. And I do feel like for a biopic to really be a good movie, it needs to have a little more than that.
I agree. Yeah. It was like they clearly tried to make conflict happen, but that even felt a little bit rushed.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was like lacking a little something. Like even at the end, I didn't really necessarily feel inspired the way that I would have wanted to.
Yeah.
And the way that, like, Chandu Champion inspired me.
Right. Yes. I agree with that.
Not because Srikant's story isn't inspiring. It definitely is.
Right.
So I think it's just, like, there was some sort of failing on the part of the storytelling.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. I felt like the script was really stilted.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it was just that sense of, like, things are just happening. And that is life, but that's not what we go to the movies for.
Right. We just need, like, a little more.
And I do think, bringing up Chandu Champion, like, I think I would have liked it more if we hadn't just watched Chandu Champion, which was also a biopic that felt kind of stilted and kind of, like, boom, boom, here's stuff that happens.
We didn't even do this intentionally.
No!
This just happened.
Yeah, but all that being said, I do feel like Rajkumar Rao's performance was amazing. I would not be surprised if he clinches a bunch of awards for this.
Yeah. I always love when you can't necessarily recognize the actor in the role.
Absolutely. Yeah, the physicality of the way he was acting and the different movements and things that he had. It was clear that he had actually paid close attention to the person he was playing, to the person he was emulating.
Yeah, and I feel like his charm is usually more bubbly, and like Shri definitely had charm in this, but it was a more saucy, quiet charm.
Yeah,
that would kind of a little snarky, like a fun way.
Yeah, like everything, he's careful about his words because everything he says hits right.
Yeah, should we talk about the players?
Let's do it.
Srikant was directed by Tushar Hiranandani and then stars Rajkumar Rao, obviously, as Srikant, but I'm going to call him Shri.
Yeah.
Jyotika as Devika and Alaya F. as Swati.
Yeah.
Those are our peeps.
Those are the peeps.
Yeah. Should we get into it?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Hoppa!
We open on July 13th, 1992 in Andhra Pradesh. And a man learns that his wife has just given birth to a baby boy.
Yay.
And he's all excited because he's like, this kid's gonna play cricket and achieve a bunch of wonderful things. And it's all gonna be great. I'm gonna name him Srikant. And then he looks baby Shri in the face and realizes that the baby is blind. Mm-hmm. And this is where we get an occasional voiceover from Shri over the course of the film. And he says, yes, he was born blind. And everyone tried to convince his parents to give him up, saying that his life would be too hard. And there was some ambiguity to the term, like, give him up.
I felt that it was very clear. Prior
there
to
were a
the,
lot of people. Yeah.
The contemplated infanticide.
Yes. And Papa ends up taking Shri outside, baby Shri, and digging a grave. But then both parents realize, they're like, we can't do this. We love our son. So they keep him. And then we get really happy music set over a montage of Shri's childhood. Mm-hmm. And I like that this happy music, like, comes back several times throughout the film. Yeah. As he's doing, like, inspirational achievements.
Yeah.
And things.
It's a fun little theme.
We then see Shri in school being an absolute whiz at math. Mm-hmm. He's just brilliant. But later that day, he gets bullied and pushed around by some boys from school. His dad ends up breaking up the fight, but he tells Shri that next time he should just run. And Shri says that because he's blind, he can't run, he can only fight.
Yeah.
Which is that comes up periodically throughout the film.
He has to do a lot of fighting in this one.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Shri's teacher tells his dad that Shri should go to a school in Hyderabad that is specifically for visually impaired children. Mm-hmm. So Shri goes, and he learns Braille, which is like a whole new world for him.
Yeah.
And his teacher, Devika, also teaches him how to use a cane.
Yeah.
I also tend to refer to her as teacher just because he calls her teacher.
So does Shri. I think that's fine.
Yeah. And then we see Shri grow up. He becomes head boy, which is a big achievement, mm-hmm. Which, because we live in the U.S. and don't have that terminology, it always makes me think of Harry Potter.
I know, of course. That was the first time I ever heard of that concept.
Yeah, I was like, this must be only in magic school.
Right, exactly. It's only a thing they do at Hogwarts, so are prefects.
Yeah. No, not true. Not true. But yeah, so then we get a montage of Shri moving through life, being super brilliant at everything he does, and his parents are super proud of him, which is, I love how supportive his parents are.
They are. Like, all of the stuff with his family is really sweet in a way that I wouldn't have expected given the contemplated infanticide at the start of the movie.
Right. I was like, this is, like, the tone we're starting with. Yep. But then I like that they immediately went into, like, that happy montage of, like, him growing up. Yeah. A donor comes to visit this school for the visually impaired, and Shri is chosen to give the welcome speech. And this is, like, the first time you really start to see his personality.
Yeah.
Because he does the typical, like, thank you so much for donating. And then he ends up calling out the principal of the school for pocketing a lot of the donation money that the school receives. And the principal is furious, so furious that he kicks Shri out of the school.
Yeah.
Like, on the streets.
Which feels like it should be illegal. Like, Shri is still a minor at this point, and I know you can expel people from school, but, like, you can't just throw them out on the street if it's a boarding school. Like,
right. And, like, for what? For calling attention to your own, like, illegal
behavior?
Crimes?
Yeah.
Because it can't be legal to take donated funds and use them, like, misappropriate them.
No, just to buy chicken.
Yeah. It's weird.
This guy's a jerk.
Yeah, but he's terrible. And, I mean, to make things even worse, the principal takes away Shri's cane, saying that it's school property.
It is like he wants him to die. He wants him to die or become seriously injured when he's pushed out the door.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a dick move. I don't know. We don't say that on the podcast.
But it is, though, and it's hard to call it anything else.
Yeah. So Shri calls teacher and is trying to head toward her house, I assume, mm-hmm. when he gets disoriented by a barking dog. He's doing pretty well. He snaps to kind of act as a cane. But the barking dog distracts him, and he accidentally walks into traffic, and he's getting, like, bumped by cars. But he's able to make it to safety, and teacher finds him. She rolls up on her scooter, and Shri tells her that he doesn't want to beg because his bullies as a child told him that blind people are only good for begging.
Yeah.
So he's grown up with that being his, like, greatest fear. And his Teacher then calls his parents and tells them that she'll take over his schooling herself now. This woman.
Incredible.
Absolutely incredible. Like, wow. She ends up recording herself reading all of the textbooks since he no longer has access to textbooks in Braille. Mm-hmm. And that's how he learns.
Yeah.
Shreya ends up scoring high enough to get into, like, the high school program that he wants to get into. But despite his high score, which was a 96% when the cutoff was an 86%, he's not allowed to study science like he wants to.
Right.
So the school tries to force him into the arts, but Shri says that he will only study science come what may.
Now, I want to just stick up for the arts here for a moment.
Sure.
And I understand why if you want to study science and someone tells you, no, you have to study the arts, that's disappointing. No matter who you are, no matter what the reason is, that sucks. I don't like the way that the conversation really paints the arts as a consolation prize, you know, a second choice that no one really wants, but like, okay, if I didn't get into the science, I guess I'll do the arts. Yeah. No, the arts are great, and we need both to be a civilized humanity.
Society. Yeah, agreed.
So, anyway, that's just my, as someone who works for a liberal arts college, I just felt the need to throw that out there.
Thank you for that plug. Yeah. I agree as well. Yeah. As someone who literally majored in Italian.
Right. Listen, comparative literature.
We're super, we've had useful degrees.
Yeah.
We actually have had useful degrees. They weren't necessarily those degrees.
I think.
Well, useful in what term? They are useful.
I find my degree very useful, and I am gainfully employed and a job that I love, and I have a really cool podcast, so.
That is so true. Killing it.
Yep.
Great. But so Shri and teacher go to the district court to file a case against the Board of Education.
Yeah.
Which prevents blind students from studying science. Like, this is, like, a federal rule, which is bonkers.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that existed in India. So, not that I'm passing judgment on a country that's not my own, but I do think it's a bogus rule.
It's the sort of thing where, like, there's a refusal to create a system that works for everyone as opposed to, yeah, the choice is to, like, just say that people who can't participate in the system the way we've set it up are just excluded from it.
Exactly. Which is, like, the whole point of the movie. In court, Shri argues that admission scores determine who is able to study what, not sight. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I scored really well. This makes zero sense. The opposing lawyer brings up this really bogus example of Newton discovering gravity.
Yeah.
He's trying to illustrate why a blind man can't study science, because he's like, you wouldn't have been able to watch the apple fall.
Which, isn't the story that the apple fell on Newton's head?
On his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can.
That might have been, is that the, like, the cute kid version?
I don't think any of it's true. I think Newton knew about gravity before the apple fell, and, like, that was, you know. But anyway, I just think the sort of the anecdote being that it hit him on the head.
Yeah.
A blind person can also feel apples hitting them on the head, so.
Yes.
And can hear apples falling from trees that don't hit them on the head. Anyway.
Exactly. So then, yeah, Shri schools them all with a physics lesson, being like, I can calculate how fast that apple fell. Mm-hmm. Let me prove it to you. And then he ends with a sure, how many people have seen apples fall and didn't figure out that gravity existed, which is a really good point.
Very good point.
And he's like, because gravity can't be seen. You don't need eyes to discover it.
No, you feel it every
day. And I was like, heck yeah, Shri. We do. Each day I feel it more and more. I
feel more and more like I'm being pushed into the earth.
It's just dragging on my bones.
It's hard getting old.
It really is. And this case ends up dragging on for months, but teacher keeps encouraging Shri to keep studying because knowledge is never wasted. Mm-hmm. Back in court, the principal of the school that Shri wants admission to makes an appearance. And he says that Shri cannot complete the full syllabus, to which Shri responds, you can't tell me what I can or cannot do. Good for him. Mm-hmm. But the principal then passes Shri the book that all the students learn from, and he tells him to read it. It is not in Braille, so of course, Shri can't. It's just smooth pages. And the principal then says that they can't change their whole system just for one student. And I was like, as an educator, this just, it made me so furious.
Right.
It's like improving accessibility is not, quote unquote, changing the system.
No.
It's just improving accessibility and including more people.
It's also very seldom just for one person. And
yeah.
It's been shown that, like, even people without disabilities benefit from the types of things that are created, like just the community that's created. And
I'm just like, bro, get a textbook in Braille.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of other people are doing it, so like, they exist.
Yep. Yeah.
I hated this guy, but Shree's response is brilliant because he hands the principal a book in Braille and tells him to read that.
Yeah.
And of course he can't. So Shree's like, okay, so what if, like, we had been the ones to design the system and you were the one out in the cold who couldn't read our books?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so Shree says, I'm not asking you to change the system. I'm just asking you to give me a chance to be part of it. And so he does end up going to the school.
Yay!
And he continues to be brilliant. And we see him join the Hyderabad Cricket League for the visually impaired, mm-hmm. which is also cool that they have that.
Very cool.
Shree then joins an initiative called the Lead India Movement, led by a previous Indian president. And Shree states that he wants to be the first visually impaired president of India.
Yeah.
I admire his gumption, his confidence in himself when a lot of people keep telling him he can't do the things he can do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's impressive.
I think he would make a great president. I also, I'll throw this out here now. I thought that I saw, like, the date at the opening being 1992, but I was like, oh, I must be wrong about that if he's just being born in 1992. Because I just always assume that every biopic is about someone who's...
an older person?
Yeah, an older person, not a person who's my age.
Right, yeah.
And certainly he's accomplished a lot in... I think he was actually born in 1991, because I was reading a Wikipedia page about him, and it said that gave his birthday as 1991, but probably...
That's confusing.
The filmmakers are probably more... Anyway... Someone in their early 30s.
Yes, yeah.
But, yeah, he's done a lot in 33 or 32 years.
Yeah, it did make me just look at my life.
He is, like, an actual genius, though. Like,
that is so true.
In addition to,
I'm
like,
not, the... and that's okay.
Yeah, we still bring a lot to the world, just in different ways and quieter.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the growing good of the world is partly dependent on historic acts, as George Eliot once said.
Wow.
It's one of my favorite quotes of all time.
That's a good one. So Shree then goes to Mumbai for the trials that will determine who will play cricket for the national visually impaired team.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's got so much going on.
He really does. He's good at everything.
It's very impressive. But Shree then takes a trip home, during which he encounters his old bully on the bus, the bully who said that he would only ever be good for begging. This bully has not changed at all. He's just like, oh, how's the begging going? You got, like a bag full of money? Horrible.
What a jerk. Like, if he were actually begging on the streets, like, why would you say that to him? Like,
yeah, it's so true. Like, it's just, none of it's okay. But the bully is 1 rupee short for the bus fare.
Mm-hmm.
So Shree just gives him the money.
Yep.
And it's very much like a ha moment.
It's just like one of those moments you dream about having in life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, here I'll you go. Them. I've got the rest of your fare.
Mm-hmm. And once home, Shree gives his father a jersey that says Shreekant on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was always his dad's dream, that his son would play cricket. So we also have a jersey here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's just like Jersey, but very different.
But like reversed, and no one dies.
And neither of these two dies at the end, yeah.
It's great. At practice one day, Shree receives a call from his teacher, who informs him that the top engineering universities in India have the same exact restriction for blind students that like the high schools did.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells Shree that they can go back to court, but Shree says he can't fight everything in court, and it's not his job to change the system, which is so true. And I feel like that is what you hear from people who are marginalized or the systems are built against them. And everyone's just like, oh, but if you just keep fighting. And it's like, why does that have to always be on us?
Right, it's exhausting, and it really should be on the people who are not marginalized.
And who really benefit from the systems. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Adding inclusivity does not take away anything from people who are already included. Like, right.
Again, and it has been proven time and time again to actually be beneficial to have that kind of heterogeneous environment in an education system.
Yup. But so teacher suggests that Sri apply to international schools like in the UK and the US, but doing so will mean giving up his dream of playing cricket for India.
Aww.
Which is so sad. Like,
it is.
That's rough. But Sri says that his education comes first, so he turns in his jersey and starts applying.
Mm-hmm.
And Sri ends up getting schools from the top 4 universities in the U.S. I was really curious to know, like, which ones those were.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can make some guesses, but...
Yeah, but it is
still curious.
Because it's like, is it specifically the best schools for, like, engineering?
Right.
Because I don't know that I would know off the top of my head exactly what those would be.
Me neither.
Yeah.
And I mean, MIT is, like, the only one that I could be like, oh, probably that one.
Right. Also, I'd never in my life given any thought to what MIT stood for. I mean, I, like, you know, Institute of Technology.
Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
And it was the first time that I was like, Massachusetts is the M. Because I knew it was in Boston. It was the first time that like, you know, clicked for me. I've never known anyone who went to MIT. Why would I think about it?
Me neither. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, he decides to go to MIT.
Yeah, cool.
Good for him. My hometown. It's not my hometown. But it's where I live. Well, it's not really where I live.
You
it's
live adjacent at MIT. To where I live. The state you live in now also has the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Yeah. And so teacher drops Sri off at the airport, and it's really sweet. But as he checks in, Sri is told that visually impaired people are not allowed to fly alone. This also just surprised me, and maybe it's because, like, our privilege of living in the States, but it feels like if you need assistance getting to the gate, you just get assistance getting to the gate.
Right. Yeah. And you don't assume that someone necessarily does need that.
Right.
And that they would need something that you can't provide them.
Right.
And also at the same time, I was like, I feel like if I were a teacher, I would have researched this.
Yeah.
But that's, it's not on her. It's not on her to change anything. It's just, I was surprised.
Right. I also, one thing that it made me sad, but I also appreciated about this film was that it did a really good job of showing, like, microaggressions.
Yes.
Towards visually impaired and blind people. Like, even, like, the guy infantilizing him, like, by being like, okay, here's your doc, you have to keep them safe.
Yeah.
Like, he's very smart, actually. He knows. And it's like, okay, well, your bag is right here. And it's like, he knows. He put it there. Like,
right. And most of the people in this movie use the term normal at some point. Like, even Srikant himself. Like, you're absolutely right. It does show the reality of just, like, every day having to deal with people. Even people who know you well and know what you're capable of. Saying things or doing things that would suggest not fully understanding how you can show up in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is rough.
Yeah.
And in this moment, Sri asks the other people standing in line if there's anyone who will say that they're traveling with him just to get around this rule.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking for help, saying that if he can't go, his admission to MIT will be canceled. No one offers to help.
No.
So I would have cried at this point.
Yeah. Big time.
Oh, yeah. But instead of crying, Sri's actually productive and uses his brain to solve this issue.
Yeah, this is why he is who he is and where he is and where not.
That is so true. He's saying,
one of the reasons.
I can't be a 30 under 30 if I just cry whenever I face adversity. Okay.
Yeah. You've only got a few more months left to make that happen for yourself.
So true. I think that ship has sailed.
Probably, but...
But so Sri gives a demonstration to everyone using the, like, seats in the waiting area to prove that he can find his seat unassisted.
Yeah.
And it's charming, and it's convincing, and it's brilliant, and everyone claps.
I loved all the people who played along, too. Like, the guy was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in your seat. Like, moved.
Yeah, that was really good. And the airline employee agrees to let him board. And now we're in Boston, baby.
Yeah.
Beantown, 2010.
It's a great place to be.
It is. I was really enjoying all the panning shots, and I was like, that's my city. Because, yes, yeah. I live in a city technically, but, like, that's actually, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. But we see that Shree gets his Braille books for school, and he makes two friends named Kelly and Ed, who seem like lovely people.
They do. One, we could be this white lady.
Oh, yeah.
Two, this is the picture that would be put on all the brochures. Is this, like,
oh, yes.
White girl, black boy, Indian boy, who is also disabled.
That is so true.
All the brochures done. Plastered with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which isn't, like,
it's
it
not,
happens.
It's not funny, but it is also, like, the joke is funny, but the reality that it's based in is not funny.
Yeah, the joke is on the institutions.
Exactly. But. Yeah.
So, in Shree's voiceover, he says that he's living his best life in America.
Yeah.
That's great.
Good for
and
him.
And you can also see the infrastructure is just set up better.
Yep.
For a blind person.
Yeah.
And then he gets introduced to baseball, which is yeah. similar enough to cricket. So he starts playing baseball.
Rad.
And there's an article that comes out about Shree playing baseball, and it catches the attention of a beautiful young woman named Swati.
Yes.
And she falls in love with Shree from afar, and they start up a long-distance friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her. Like, yeah. Get it, girl.
Yeah, she... slide right into those DMs.
Mm-hmm. Could work out for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, be polite about it.
Right, yes. Yeah, don't be rude.
Time passes, and then we see that Shree has graduated from MIT.
Yay! Woo. Congrats.
Yeah. And Swati calls during graduation and tells Shree that she's coming to the States to do her MD, and she can't wait to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's studying in California?
Yeah.
And he's in Boston, which...
It's far away.
Yeah. But it's fine, because she ends up flying to Boston, and they take a road trip.
Yeah. I did like that we got yet another scene of a wealthy woman driving a car, much to the chagrin of the professional driver in the backseat. She's driving it very poorly.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how often that happens.
Right. Probably too often. And also, I'll say this now since it's coming up, she was driving on the wrong side of the road in the States.
Oh my God.
Yes, yeah. And sometimes was driving in the middle of the road, and we don't do that here.
No. You will be pulled over.
You will be pulled over and or get crashed into.
That's also true.
Yeah.
But it's okay, Kim, because there's a sweet love song playing.
Exactly. It makes up for everything.
And then in the car, teacher calls to wish Shree congratulations on graduating. And he's like, yeah, thanks so much. Like, interviews for campus placements are next week, and I've already gotten a few offers. And she's like, wait, hold up. You're not coming back to India?
Mm-hmm.
And Shree says that he can't get a respected job in India, and India doesn't need him. After he hangs up with teacher, Swati, who's overheard this whole conversation, tells him that she thinks he should go back to India because he could really make a change there for other visually impaired people.
Yeah. And I think India does need him. It just he doesn't want to be needed in the way that India needs him, which is very, very mm-hmm. valid.
Very fair. Like, you shouldn't have to take up the mantle
exactly.
just because you happen to be blind in his case, or
right.
in other cases, you happen to have a specific skin color or, right. like, gender identity. Like,
yeah,
that should not mean you have to do something.
Fight that fight, yeah. And yeah. this is the kind of emotional grappling that I wouldn't have hated seeing a little more of in this movie, but...
Yeah, it didn't feel like it went as deep as it could have.
Yes.
Like I said, it's kind of just like facts.
Yep.
Shree responds that challenging the system is pointless and leads to nothing. And Swati kind of sadly just says, all right, well then India's loss is America's gain.
Except that he can't be the president of America, so.
He cannot. Sorry. Just thinking about. You know, the idea that we could have Trump can be the president.
Right, but.
He's a convicted criminal now, y'all.
Yeah. Like, a few times over.
Yeah.
But we couldn't have this, like, very intelligent man.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, I have high hopes that our next president will be a very intelligent woman, but we'll just have
who
to
also
wait and see.
Will also be partly Indian.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. This is, yeah.
But then Shri does fly back to Hyderabad.
Yes, he does.
And after intermission, it is 2014 in Hyderabad. And Shri and teacher are looking for a space to rent where they could set up a computer lab, but everything is too expensive. Mm-hmm. So teacher's like, let's just use my house. We'll create our own system. It's
again,
fine.
Just she's giving up everything she has.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, yeah. What an amazing woman. And so they build it and they call it Shri Davies.
Yay.
Which is brilliant. 6 months later, Shri and teacher are disheartened because they have students who are now educated and computer literate, but they can't get a job because society thinks that they're good only for begging. Mm-hmm. So Shri says, okay, we'll just come up with jobs for our students. And he decides that he wants to make, like, recycled paper to do this.
Yeah.
We then get a flashback of 4 months earlier when we see Shri going around to different companies, advocating for his students and trying to get them employment opportunities, and people just keep rejecting him again and again. And this happens several times in the movie, and I hate it every time it does, but some people just, like, leave.
Yeah.
As he's talking without saying anything.
Right.
So he doesn't realize he's not talking to people anymore.
Right. And the moment that it's so rude that when it happens to him at every point that it happens to him.
Yeah.
And this point where he's in a business meeting, like,
yes.
Would you do that to a person who could see you? No.
No.
Just, if you don't want to listen to him anymore, just be like, we're sorry, we're not interested.
Right.
And walk him out. Like.
Yeah.
What?
Oh my God. It's so rude. I hate
so wild.
And all of this is really awful, but Shri ends up reconnecting with the previous president who heads Lead India. Mm-hmm. And he agrees to invest what he can in Shri's business idea to make recycled paper.
Yay.
Shri then meets up with another investor named Ravi, and he agrees to invest in the company. And so Bolant is born.
Yay.
Because Shri's last name is Bola. Mm-hmm. So that's fun.
It's
I like
nice.
That.
Yeah.
And they hire a bunch of people. I think it's 80% people who have disabilities. I think that's what he says later on, which is really incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And they get their first order and they're so excited. And then they find out that they owe 87 lakhs on this factory that they've been in for 1 month because the previous 2 years, the bills haven't been paid.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That is wild. That shouldn't be how that works.
No. But it is, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
So Shri ends up meeting with the electric company and gets them to give him a year to pay off the bill. So there's a lot of, all along this way, there's a lot of people who are, like, trusting him and putting faith in him.
Yeah.
And he's showing up, which is good. Mm-hmm. We get another montage of the company doing great. Yay! And we see Shri continuing to talk on the phone to Swati as she's studying and stuff.
Yeah.
Everything's great.
Yeah.
A year passes and the company is successful. And then we see Shri being interviewed by a reporter, and then the reporter cuts Shri off to talk to Ravi, saying, hey, you're the one that invested in this company and believed in a blind man, so you're the real hero. It's all really disgusting.
Yeah.
And Ravi's clearly upset by this, but he only has time to say thank you and not stand up for Shri because there's a child playing around with, like, rusted machinery. So Ravi has to go save the kid.
There's a lot going on.
But Shri, of course, doesn't know that's happening. So he's just like, oh, okay, Ravi, like, you just accepted it. But then Shri's old bully shows up looking for a job. And Shri is like, isn't it funny that you're now the one begging? You won't find a job here. Mm-hmm. And Ravi later tells Shri that insulting the bully wasn't right and that the present Shri is different than the one that he met a year ago. It is interesting because, yeah, he has, like, all these people being like, you're a god and you're doing such amazing work and you're a hero. But then he's also hearing that he's worthless and, like, not capable of anything.
Yeah. I imagine that would be very confusing for a person.
Yeah. It's confusing to people watching it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know how to handle that, so.
I know. I didn't know how to feel through really any of this.
Yeah. Shri's voiceover says that Ravi needs Shri, not the other way around. And then Shri tells Ravi his dream to expand the business to a second factory. And Ravi's like, okay, cool, yeah, we should wait a year because by then the business will be profitable and we can expand. But Shree pushes on, making a deal with the factory owner that they'll start using the factory now and then just pay the owner back in 6 months. Mm-hmm. He's not listening to, like, the guy he brought on to
the
be,
money
like,
guy.
A business advisor. Yeah, but, you know, that's fine. And Swati comes to visit, and Shree opens the new factory, and things seem great. But then Shree and Swati go over to Ravi's house for tea, and as they're sitting there, they discuss a prestigious business award called the Business Excellence Award. Mm-hmm. Ravi doesn't think Bolant is big or successful enough to win, and Shree takes offense to this. He definitely takes it personally, so he ends up storming out of Ravi's house, and he's like, I need to get Swati to the airport. At the airport, Swati tells Shree that she doesn't want him to lose the important people in his life in the pursuit of this award.
Yeah.
And she then leaves him without saying goodbye.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is your boyfriend. Like, are you kidding me?
That was so, yeah, that was really rude and weird. Is this also where she gives him the watch or somewhere in this visit?
She, yeah, or something. Like, yeah.
I just wanted to bring that up because it reminded me of Kabul.
Oh.
Which isn't something I generally like
want
to
be reminded of.
But yeah.
Oh. We should watch Kabul sometime the pod.
It is a really good movie, but
it's
also
a phenomenal movie.
So sad and so dark. And maybe not in this climate of like protests against violence against women. Like, we'll save that for another time.
Yeah, save it for another time. Because also has fighting.
It does have
vigilante
fighting.
Yeah.
The fighting's great. Yeah. A lot of the like truly sad stuff happens early on, and then you're just there for the fighting. For
yeah,
the revenge.
But you will sob.
Yeah. Oh god. Anyway.
Anyway. We then see Ravi arrive at the factory to find Shree meeting with the minister, a woman named Reddy, because she wants to nominate him for the state elections.
Yeah.
Like, and Ravi's just like, I'm sorry, what? We just expanded this business. Now you want to get into politics? Mm-hmm. You need to focus on business development. And Shree's like, well, that takes too long. I'm taking, like, the shortest path to my goal, which is the Business Excellence Award. And he thinks that this politician could help him get there. Meanwhile, the owner of the second factory keeps calling, and Shree keeps ignoring his calls, until finally he's forced to answer the phone, and we learn that it's been nearly a year since they first opened the second factory. And remember, he told this guy he'd pay him back in 6 months.
Yeah.
There's a lot he's trying to juggle, and he's not doing it
well.
It's
just like all the balls in the air before. They're all just coming crashing down.
You better hope they're not hard.
No, soft balls. Which also don't feel good when
also
they hit
hurt.
You.
Yeah. Hacky sacks. You can handle a hacky sack.
Hacky sack.
Sack. Okay. Hacky sack. What is that from?
It's from She's All That, right?
Yes. Okay, yes. Yeah, when he's like, he gets up on and does the slam poetry.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, so ridiculous. Shree then says that if the owner keeps pushing, he'll hang himself from the ceiling and mention the factory owner in the note.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a big, big move.
Just throw that out there, yeah.
Yeah. So Ravi mentions this to teacher because he's really worried about who Shree is becoming now. Mm-hmm. But then Shree receives a call that Bolant has been nominated for the Business Excellence Award.
Yep.
So we see Shree doing some sort of appearance for the minister when the factory owner shows up on site and demands to speak with Shree. Shree isn't there, so he tells him to come back later, but the owner refuses to leave. And Shree asks the minister for help with the situation, and she ends up sending police.
Yeah.
Ravi's able to de-escalate everything, but he brings up again to teacher, like, Shree is doing all sorts of things that aren't his norm.
No, yeah.
Teacher says, okay, well, Shree won't say sorry or admit fault ever because he's never had the option of running or backing down. He's only ever had to fight. Mm-hmm. And so teacher tries to talk to Shree about all of these changes, but he says that he doesn't need her or Ravi. And so she hands him his cane and she leaves the room, only to put a chair in his way, which she had done when he was a boy.
Yeah.
Which makes him fall. And she's like, you will slip, and it's really hard to get back up without any support. And Shree goes back to the minister lady, Reddy, And she's like, okay, we've made banners for your campaign. We have slogans. Here you go. What do you think? And he asks her if she's supporting him because of his accomplishments or his limitations. Mm-hmm. And she says, honestly, that if she wanted him for his business success, she has other more successful business owners she could have worked with.
Rude.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, okay, so you only want, I'm like a symbol here. You're using me for my blindness.
Exactly, yeah.
And this then makes Shree think back on all the people who supported him because they loved him and genuinely believed in him mm-hmm. for who he is. And so he tells Reddy that he will not run after all. And he realizes that he's needed support all along.
Yeah. Again, everybody yeah. needs somebody.
Yup. And so he shows up to Teacher's house to apologize, and then he goes to Ravi's house, and he actually says he's sorry, and everyone's hugging, and it's beautiful, and they paid the factory owner what he's owed, and Shree also calls Swati to apologize, mm-hmm. and Bolant gets even more investors, and then we see that Shree's bully gets a job at the company after all.
Yay!
Yay! And then it's 2017, mm-hmm. and Bolant wins the Business Excellence Award, huzzah. Specifically in the special category of, like, differently abled employers. Right. Or, like, some, yeah.
Yeah, which I feel like it's suggested it's, like, the first time they're doing that. Like, they just yeah. wanted to do it for him.
Yeah, and yeah. it's, like, you could have just, well, yeah, so he goes into it. He gives this acceptance speech, and he says that 2% of people in India are blind, but 98% can't see. Mm-hmm. And he says that he should not be earning this award in the special category of differently abled, and he will not accept it until he has earned the actual Business Excellence Award, judged equally against all other businesses.
Yeah.
As it should be. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And that's the end of the actual movie.
Yeah.
But then we see some photos of the real Shree and the real Ravi next to our actors.
Yeah.
And we learn that in 2017, Shree was named in the Forbes list of 30 under 30 across all of Asia. And he still wants to be president someday.
Yeah.
That's good great. For him.
Yeah. He's probably not old enough yet, but soon.
No. And finally, we see a blurb that says that in 2016, the Indian government enacted the Rights of Persons with Disabilities Act, which replaced the original 1995 Act. The updated act expanded the list of disabilities from 7 to 21, and it specifies that the appropriate government shall ensure that the person with disabilities enjoys the right to equality, life with dignity, and respect for his or her own integrity equally with others. Mm-hmm. As it should be.
Exactly.
We then get one more scene with our actors where Shree goes running across a field and falls, and Swati's chasing after him. And when he gets up, he's like, I can see. Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is ridiculous. No, you can't end this here. That's so stupid. And then I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's a joke.
It's a joke. It's what you call a joke.
Yeah. Which Swati does not find funny. But then we learn that Shree and Swati got married on April 23rd, 2022. And they have a daughter named Nayana.
Yay. Congratulations.
And it's all beautiful and lovely, and it's great.
Yeah. Good movie.
Yeah.
It could have been better. I was thinking as you're going through the ending, like, honestly, I feel like I wasn't picking up on necessarily all of the dynamics as, like, you hearing them a second time, it was becoming a lot clearer to me, like, what exactly they were trying to do. And I think it's definitely a shortcoming of the writing that wasn't clear right out the gate. But there were just, like, so many tensions that they mm-hmm. could have explored more deeply. Like, the whole idea of people expect him to need help, and so he feels like he needs to be independent to prove people wrong, but then he really does yeah. need help, not because of his blindness, but just because everybody needs help. Everyone. As they're starting a business and trying to go far in life. And
yeah
I don't know, I felt like things were, like we've said, just so, like, fact mm-hmm. that there wasn't this the emotional depth that I feel like there should have been.
I agree with that, and I think similarly to you, I was so into it. Like, I was so excited about it. I liked where we started. I liked watching the progression of, yeah. like, high school and him fighting in court and showing his brilliance. And I honestly was surprised at how quickly he graduated from MIT. Like, we jumped 4 years.
Yeah.
I just thought there was going to be more development. And I understand they wanted to focus on what he did for India. But that was when it kind of lost me, just because I was like, oh, I'm feeling a little, I'm a little bit jarred now.
Yes. Yes.
It felt more like I was reading like a short story about a man's life than watching a film.
Right. I agree with that. Like, it felt like reading a Wikipedia page about a person's life.
Yeah, exactly.
So for research this week, I didn't do a ton.
That is okay.
I did think about like researching schools for the blind in India. I started down that path. I got overwhelmed.
I'm sure, yeah.
And so there was just because there was a lot, like not necessarily even because of bad things about it. There was just so mm-hmm. much information and so many different kinds of schools. And I was just like, I can't. It's a Friday right. afternoon and I can't do this. Yeah. So instead, I gathered up some reviews and I thought we could kind of talk about them. And then I do have a little bit of research that I'll share at the end.
Okay.
But so, yeah, the movie has what I now feel are surprisingly high ratings on IMDb and on, like, yeah. Google reviews. It seems like the general public maybe had a fairly high opinion of the film, but reading through, like, critical reception really wasn't that great, which I wasn't expecting. I feel like mm-hmm. from just, again, you know, it's because I follow Rajkumar Rao on social media, so, like, he's not necessarily going to post all the criticism. But I just had this idea in my head, and you were saying that, like, you had read something about...
Yeah, the people were comparing Chandu Champion to Shrikant, and they were like, well, I wish this had just been Shrikant.
Yeah.
But honestly,
I think Chandu Champion better.
Yeah, me too.
I think the one thing that Shrikant had over Chandu Champion was I thought Rajkumar Rao's performance was superior, not to say I didn't like Kartik's performance, because Kartik also did a phenomenal job, but he didn't disappear into the role the way that Rajkumar Rao did.
Yeah.
But I'll start off with a positive one. Daval Roy for Times of India said that the narrative was simple and doesn't have the scope for pumped up energy or thrills like a sports drama or a historical event. Still, mm-hmm. the director keeps one engaged, focusing on the strength of the visually impaired man overcoming challenges, not with pity, but with intelligence and outsmarting situations.
Yeah.
And then he later says that Shrikant broke the biopic mold, which I don't feel is true.
I don't think so either. Unless we're talking about how they maybe didn't embellish certain things to make it more palatable to a film audience, but I think that that's breaking it in a not great way.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that could be a valid interpretation of what the reviewer meant there, and I don't think that that's necessarily a good thing. But I did like the mention of Shrikant overcoming challenges with intelligence and outsmarting people, because mm-hmm. I always loved every moment where he was able to just like turn people's words around on them. Very satisfying every time it happened.
Yeah.
But then getting into some more critical reviews of the movie, Mayor Sanop wrote that, as with most biographical films, Shrikant wants to capture many aspects of the protagonist's life, but the episodic nature of the events never quite sets the right rhythm. The writer duo of Jagdeep Sidhu and Sumit Purohit toy around with many different themes, a rag-to-riches tale, mentorship, friendship, a love story, an entrepreneurial dream, study of a flawed personality, and the eventual redemption. Many of these aspects are haphazardly explored and don't combine into a compelling whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like that's very much a valid summary, I think, of everything we've been saying. Like, just this, you know, moving from fact to fact to fact and presenting the possibility of depth without actually mm-hmm. exploring that depth more fully, which I think it was this review where they were saying how disappointing that is given the caliber of performances that they had. Because even Jyotika in the teacher role, like, she did so well, but she was given so little.
Right. I feel like she had flashes of strength, like the character.
Yeah.
But I would have appreciated her having, like, a moment.
Yeah.
Kind of like America Ferrera and Barbie, you know. Yeah. Like, I just kind of wanted her to have like a little monologue mm-hmm. that packed a punch.
Yeah.
And I understand it's not about her, but like, she made him who he is.
Yeah.
So through her hard work and dedication. So I do feel like she deserved maybe one little tiny spotlight for a little bit.
I agree.
Instead of there just being the occasional, like, one sentence, well, I'm standing up for him, and mm-hmm. then he takes over again, right. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Every other character in the movie really just exists in service of Shrikant's development, which right. isn't the case for any of the humans that Shrikant has interacted with over the course of his life.
Because we are, everyone is yep. a fully fledged human being. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think anyone else's motivations being a little bit better explored would have done the movie, you know, a good service.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a reviewer, Rahul Desai, for Film Companion, who called the movie a biopic for dummies. And wow. says that far from doing far from doing justice to the life of an entrepreneur, it sucks all of the life out of his story. And then he makes the point that the writing is such that, ironically, the visuals are pointless, and implies that you could shut your eyes and listen and know every character's motivation.
I mean, I guess that's true, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it hit me as like a, you know, they're showing and not telling kind of a thing.
Or they're telling and not showing.
That's the one I meant. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, showing's the one where you use your eyes. They're telling and not showing. They're explicitly stating how the audience should be feeling in a moment, as opposed to
letting them.
Yeah, again, giving the strength of the storytelling the job of doing that for us.
Yeah, and I always think things like this, because obviously the reason that they decided to tell this story is because they think it's a valuable story to be told.
Right.
To hopefully, I would assume, institute change and, like, change perspectives on how visually impaired people are viewed.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it's way more powerful to lead the horse to water instead yes. of trying to make it drink. Like,
yes.
You're telling people how to feel. You're just kind of like boom, 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 whacking them on the head with it mm-hmm. versus just presenting them with the scenario that would inevitably lead them to that same conclusion.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I think I agree. Like, it could have been better
yeah.
in that way.
And I think a valid word for that kind of thing is preachy. It's a little preachy.
It is a little preachy. And yeah. again, I'm like, I agree with the preaching.
Yes.
To be clear. But yeah, yeah. But
the presentation of it isn't super effective.
Right.
One last quote that I'll read here from Kartik Bhardwaj for the New Indian Express, who went so far as to suggest that the poor writing undermined the film's message, saying, quote, "For a film preaching every second not to reduce its subject to his disability, Shrikant surely draws no blanks when it comes to wordplay even remotely related to sight. The characters resort to low-hanging puns and metaphors to preach to the audience rather than letting the scenes do the talking," exactly like yeah. you were just saying. And then later adds, "Its sermons of empathy, not sympathy, felt hollow since the film couldn't go beyond Shrikant's disability. It took itself too seriously while trying not to." And it was reading this that made me think, like, there really isn't a single scene in this movie where Shrikant's blindness isn't emphasized. And
yeah.
I understand that that's a core part of who he is and how right. he lives every day of his life. And also, it's clearly not everything he is. And I really can't think of a moment that didn't in some way come about because of his blindness.
Yeah.
And I think that the movie really missed an opportunity to, again, show, not tell us that there was more to this man than his disability.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. I always appreciate hearing, like, reviews because it helps me put words to my thoughts and feelings.
Exactly. Me too. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do agree with that. Yeah.
And I find I do tend to enjoy seeking out reviews when I have a sense that the reviewers are going to agree with my own opinion.
Sure.
Like, I'd never read any reviews of Zoya Factor, for example.
Yeah, we're all guilty of that. You mm-hmm. know, I think especially when you're watching something that might be considered more critically acclaimed.
Yes.
I'm always curious when, like, it doesn't necessarily jive with me. I'm like, what are, like, the actual professional movie reviewers yeah. saying?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But now for my very brief research that I did on the Cricket Association for the Blind in India.
Amazing!
Yeah! You know, it felt very fitting given that we've been talking about sports movies and you did the research on the rules of cricket. So I wanted to provide some information about blind cricket.
Great.
So the CABI, again, the Cricket Association for the Blind in India, is an NGO affiliated with the World Blind Cricket Council, or the WBCC.
Okay.
Their stated objective on their website is to, quote, create awareness of the abilities and talents of visually impaired youth and provide opportunities for the exhibition of said skills to a larger audience. Under the CABI, there are 30 state and union territory boards and over 25,000 players.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And they do have both men's and women's teams.
Awesome.
I watched a YouTube video from the YouTube channel Mr. Animation that taught me some of the rules of blind cricket.
Okay.
So blind cricket is obviously still two teams playing against each other, but each with seven blind or partially blind players. They balance the teams so that there is an equal number of totally blind and partially blind players, which feels very fair.
Yes.
And there are also slightly different rules for partially blind players than for blind players, which also feels very fair.
Yeah.
In the case of blind cricket, the pitch is smaller than the pitch for sighted cricket.
Mm-hmm.
The ball also has bearings in it, which makes it rattle, as we saw in the movie. And it's also quite a bit larger than the standard cricket ball. The stumps and that the wickets sit on are also larger. So we're making bigger targets. That, again, seems fair.
Yes.
The bowler will shout play before bowling, and the ball must bounce at least twice off the ground before getting to a totally blind batsman, and at least for a partially blind batsman.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
Because I think in standard cricket, they can choose whether or not they bounce it or not.
Mm.
I like that then it's like, okay, you know, once you've counted two bounces, it's coming.
Right,
it's
exactly. Here. Yes, yeah. Also, a totally blind player can only be out if they get two strikes for LBW, which is leg before wicket. I don't know what that means exactly, but that's that's the only way that they can get out. They can't be declared out for a hit wicket, if I'm understanding that correctly. And if someone catches the ball after they've hit it, they're only out if the person who caught the ball is a totally blind player.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so I don't know if... So there's seven people from the team, like, out at a time, and I don't know, like, on the pitch at a time. I don't know if they'll, like, cycle out players where if a totally blind batsman is up, they'll say, like, okay, well, let's get more of our totally blind fielders out, so we're more likely to have them catch the ball, and that person's more likely to be out. I don't know. That's how I would do it if I were coaching a blind cricket team.
This is very cool.
Yeah. So the first ever World Cup cricket championship for the blind was held in December of 2012. Several countries competed, including Australia, Bangladesh, England, Pakistan, South Africa, the West Indies, and Sri Lanka. And the final was between India and Pakistan, and India won.
Wow.
Yeah. And then a few years later in 2016, there was the first Asia Cup cricket championship for the blind. Once again, India and Pakistan were the two final teams, and once again, India won.
Wow. I just really appreciate that it was like, all right, you're going to colonize us, so we're just going to, like, beat you at your own game.
We're going to get really good
at cricket. Yeah.
We're going to get really good at all the sports that you brought with you, and we're going to beat you, and it's going to feel so good.
Yeah, I love that.
One last thing to note, the Indian men's team is actually touring in the U.S. right now. Sadly, we just missed them in Boston.
What?
Yeah, they were there at the end of July, and now they are making their way west.
Gosh darn it.
But okay, maybe next time. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so that was my research.
That was really fun to learn about.
Yeah,
that's good. So cool.
I enjoyed that too.
Just goes to show that, like, that stupid principal who was like, we can't change the system. It's actually, all you have to do is just sit and be like, okay, how do we make this work? Right. And then you just make it work.
You, like, make it work, and then everybody gets to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
Yeah.
But great. Thank you. That was fun.
Absolutely.
Bollywood news.
I just wanted to share the news that Stree 2 had the biggest opening day in the history of Indian cinema.
I'm sorry, even more than, like, Pathaan? Or... Yep. Wow.
Isn't that the best news you've ever heard?
That makes me so happy.
And this is worldwide, too, I believe. But, yeah, so
that's cool. That's really incredible.
Yeah.
I love that.
Good job, boys. I can't wait to see it.
I'm so excited. And I just love that the world loves it as much as we love it. I know.
I didn't read reviews, but I saw, like, an article title or something that was, like, this multiverse of madness is just as, like, fulfilling as you would hope it would be or something like that. And I was like, multiverse of madness. Yes.
Good. I mean, isn't that the name of the second Doctor Strange?
Is it? Oh, well, maybe they just adopted that to apply it to this other multiverse of madness.
Stree 2 can have it.
Absolutely. I'm sure that whoever wrote that that headline paid homage to them as well. Like,
yes.
It wasn't a blatant theft.
No. Great. Oh, I'm so excited. Like, I'm really hopeful we'll get to watch it in October.
Yeah. I think by then it should be out on streaming. And since Stree 1 is on Netflix in America, I have to imagine Stree 2 will be too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pluggables.
Yay.
Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. Do what you do. Mm-hmm. Also, consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can leave a rating or a review or both or neither, whatever you want to do. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
Indeed. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood Bangers playlists. We add the songs that we love from the movies we watch to those playlists every week, and we link them in our episode description as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Yes.
And now.
And now.
The moment we've all been waiting for.
I mean, really, like, it's been almost 2 years in the making.
It really, yes, absolutely.
I know this isn't correct. I think it's slightly different in the first installation, but all my heart wants to sing is Doomachale.
Doomachale, Doomachale.
I was going to say, once more, come on, you people. But we're not doing Doom 2.
Not yet.
Not yet. We're doing the original.
Yes.
Doom.
Mm-hmm. Doom. Doom,
doom, doom.
I hope they have that sound effect in
it. I'm so excited. My whole body has broken out in goosebumps.
I'm so excited because we've never seen the first Doom.
No.
And we love Doom 2, so we're excited. We are going to watch all three of them right in a row, guys. It's going to be great. But
buckle up. Yeah. Although motorcycles don't have seatbelts.
That's true. Put your helmets on.
Gotta be safe.
Yep. Yeah, so it's going to be great to see where the franchise all began, especially with the additional context we now have from having watched The Romantics. It's going to be great.
I am so, so excited. And knowing that, like, a heist happened that was actually inspired by Doom.
Yeah.
Wow, I just feel like we've really built up some backstory here.
We have. I'm very excited.
And it's going to be great. And I'm so excited. I've been craving me some John Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get it.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Excellent. On IMDb, our plot description for Doom is, Doom reinvents the classic cops and robbers tale for the 21st century. Fast bikes, big action, and nonstop fun make for a thrilling story. I love that. It's not about the plot, but it's a great blurb about the movie.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I like that. It's on Amazon Prime. I think we established all three films are on Amazon Prime. So if you start Doom and you're just like, I just gotta keep going.
I need more of this.
You just keep on trucking. Trust me, Doom 2's phenomenal.
It is.
But the Amazon Prime synopsis is, the tale begins in Mumbai, where a gang of robbers is sweeping through the city.
Ooh.
Officer Jay Dixit, played by Abhishek Bachchan, is brought in on the case, and he is on the trail of the robbers, a gang headed by Kabir, played by John Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Jay ropes in the services of Ali, Uday Chopra, mm-hmm. a happy garage mechanic and a prodigious biker, Yeah. With fast bikes and big action, Doom reinvents the classic cops and robbers tale.
Amazing. As always, we get a little bit of a reworking of the IMDb plot description.
I always want to be like, who did this? I love it.
Yeah, I don't know who did it first. I'm going to guess Amazon Prime. But anyway, I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a really fun time.
Yeah, I am so, so excited. Like, mostly because I can't believe we haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to be blown away. And then we're just going to... In, you know how you have your Lord of the Rings rewatching every year?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Doom might have to have its own.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the summer is a great time for that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you're just hot and trying to think about ways to have fun, and maybe doing a heist is one of them.
Exactly. So, yeah, everyone watch. I normally am like, watch if you want to, but come on, you know you
just
want
to. Just do it. You know you want to.
And, yeah, we'll be back next week. But until then, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
We do. Ah, I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, fast bikes and heists and, like, what's Mr. Longlegs?
Can't wait to find out.
It's gonna be great. Thank you.